Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Just about a month ago, as we gathered here in this place to receive our Lord's gifts, we heard the story of a rich man who came up to Jesus and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Ultimately, after some conversation, the answer Jesus gave him was this: "You lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." But the rich man could not do it. He could not let go of his wealth to follow Jesus. It was the one thing he could not let go of. He was willing to do anything and everything except that. And we considered that day, what is the one thing we have? What is the one thing we cannot let go of? Well, today we heard a story, two stories actually, that are the exact opposite of that one. The stories of two people who did let go of everything they had. And they weren't rich folks. They were very poor widows. The first was of a widow and her son who lived in the city of Zarephath during a time of severe famine. All she had left was enough food for one meal for herself and her son, and then she expected they would starve to death. So she goes out to gather some firewood and cook their last supper. When a prophet from Israel comes and asks her for food, but he does so with a promise. The Lord God of Israel will give you daily bread every day. He will take care of you and provide for you. He will do what no one else can or will. And without any evidence to support this claim, and with this claim coming from a prophet who himself needed food, the widow does it. She gives all that she has. She clings to the promise of God. And God keeps his word. Then we heard the story of the second widow, this time in Jerusalem, at the temple. Now the temple at that time had 13 metal tubes, which they called trumpets, because that's the shape they were in. They were wide at the top and got narrow down the tube. And people would come and throw their offerings into them. And since they were metal, you could hear the coins going in and clamoring down the tubes. And so when the rich came and put their offerings in, all their coins made a lot of noise, announcing to everyone in the area how generous that person had been. But Jesus does not praise them. Instead, he says, "Beware of those who like to make a show of their piety and want the admiration of men." And then he praises a poor widow. A poor widow whose two tiny copper coins probably barely made a sound before men, but were like a clanging gong before God. For she put in all that she had, everything she had to live on. But actually, it was even greater than that. For if you translate the Greek there very literally, It says she put in her whole life. What that rich man could not do, these two widows did. And I don't think it was any easier simply because they were poor. And quite frankly, they put us to shame. But not because we don't give everything we have. As I said a month ago, so I say today, this is not a command from God to us. You don't have to empty your wallet or your checking account into the offering plate today. You can. You're free to. But you don't have to please God. This story's really not about money. It's about faith. For in doing what they did, these two widows showed a faith that is rarely seen. A faith that God really will provide all that we need. And that's remarkable because judging by what could be seen, it certainly didn't appear that way. Both women were widows, deprived of their husbands. Both had become staggeringly poor. It didn't seem as if God was taking care of them at all. And yet, both believe. Both give all they have. All their life. Does that describe you and your faith? I know it doesn't mine. How quickly we tend to doubt and struggle and disbelieve when things start going south. When trials and troubles and difficulties come. How quickly we can turn to grumbling and complaining when life isn't turning out as we hoped. How quick we can be to accuse God. If not in our words, then in our thoughts. Of not coming through for us. Of not caring. Of reneging on His promises. So the faith of these widows? Yeah, it puts me to shame. But even better, if it drives me to repent. For how will I get the faith of these widows? How can I be like them? How can that be mine? By forcing myself to give more? No. For if giving is not from a willing heart, it will only breed resentment. Or it can lead to the spiritual pride of the scribes, who thought God owed them something for what they did. So, what about trying harder? If you want to be good at math, you work hard at it and do your homework. If you want to be in better shape, you exercise. So too with faith. No, again. You can't make yourself believe more. Faith is a gift. And the building of that faith and the strengthening of that faith is a gift too. The gift of the Holy Spirit working through His Word and His sacraments. So it starts with repenting. Confessing that my faith is not what it should be. And so my thoughts and words and deeds and desires aren't either. And repenting, then hearing how God really did keep all His promises to Adam, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to Moses, to David, and all the people we hear of in the Bible, including those two widows. Repenting and then remembering that the same promises were given to you when you were baptized. Repenting and then hearing again the promise of the reality that yes, your sins are forgiven. Repenting and then receiving the body and blood of Jesus. And the forgiveness that was won for you on the cross and is now being given to you to eat and to drink. These are the things of faith that build and strengthen faith that we might be like those two widows. For all this, it's not what we do. It's what God does for you. Gifts from Him for you. And with that as our focus, not how much we have to give or how much we need to repent of, and not how much we do, but how much God has done and is still doing for us. With that as our focus, God will make widows out of you yet. And not just in faith, but also from a world that increasingly no longer cares much for us and what we believe, and has issued the church a certificate of divorce from the public square. And as that happens more and more, we will more and more have to be widows, relying on Christ alone. And that's okay. More than okay, in fact. For the scriptures are filled with the truth that those who have nothing, those who are in the greatest need, widows and orphans, are the special object of God's care and concern. And by faith, it is those who have a bridegroom that will never leave them as widows. For He can no longer die. He did once on the cross. But then He rose from the dead, defeating death in the grave. And so in Jesus, we have a forever bridegroom, who, as we sang, will soon call us to the wedding feast. And not clinging to the things of this world, widowed from the life of this world, we will rejoice in that call. For that day will be like the weddings that we see here so often. The joy of a bride and a groom being united as one, but it will be even better than that. For on that last day, when that call will take place, there will be no more till death us do part. For death will lay defeated at the feet of our Savior, Jesus. And it will, therefore, be a feast forever. You see, that's what makes this story of these two widows perfect for the end of the church year, which we're now in, this being the third last Sunday of the church year. At this time, we focus on the end times, the last day when Jesus will come again as He promised. When He will come again, as the reading from Hebrews said, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for Him, who are waiting for the bridegroom to come. If that's what widows do, that widow in the temple that day is surely an example of faith to us. But even greater is the one who sat there in the temple that day, who saw what she did and commended her faith. For in just 72 hours, He would be the one giving everything He had, His whole life, for your life and for the life of the world. In just 72 hours, He would be on the cross, And it would not be gold or silver, but His holy precious blood that would be pouring into the heavenly treasury for the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus filled that treasury so there is nothing more we can give or put into it. Jesus filled it. We receive from it as He fills us with Himself, with His love, with His mercy, with His forgiveness, and says and promises, I am coming soon. So with all that, His treasure, His promise, His life, what's in your hand? What are you hanging on to? A handful of flour? A couple of coins? Really? Is not hanging on making you poor? And letting go making you rich? So instead, come to the feast. Don't hang on, but receive. Come to the feast where your bridegroom is, even now for you. Come to the feast and receive from Him a treasure greater than any other. Come to the feast and be filled with Him. Be a widow to the world and the betrothed of Christ. And rejoice in your bridegroom who is coming soon. Soon. For you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.